Hello, welcome into episode 88, Two Fat Ladies. I've been waiting on that for a while now. Of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a knit-along announcement. A review of the unofficial Harry Potter Knits magazine. What's a crack? Swap section. Me section. And Caithness section where I'm out and about, so get your Google Earth ramped up. And we end with a dram section with an Ochentoshan classic single malt whiskey. I sponsor this for my own business, www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage and therefore your podcast, so get your cup of tea. I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week. Knit along. Do you want to be in a wee gang? We'll be wee paper dollies holding hands. Well, just sit down there and you can be in our knit along with Natalie Servant Gang. The very lovely one in the same, Natalie, who hails from Canada, has featured on my designer alley last year, sent me a message last week to say, just saying hello and thanking me for the podcast as she gets through her jobs that she's not so keen on. Aye. By the way, I hope you're all cleaning your toilets just now as you're listening to me. I'm going to put that on my iTunes pro forma, the podcast I clean your toilet to. Sorry, back to the knit along. Anyway, I get Natalie through the rubbishy jobs and she offered me a coupon for one of her patterns. Oh yeah, that's her, I thought, thanking her and rubbing my hands in glee. Tripped off merrily to Ravelry to get the mock hat and cowl set and I got a few more than I was expecting the way that the coupon worked. Which, I then thought, what a choice! Now, I know some of you listeners might like to be reminded about Natalie. Right, let's all have a Natalie along. I am not going to curtail you to just one design. Oh no, my lovely listeners. She had 23 when I looked at patterns to choose from. None of them are massive, great big things unachievable before Christmas. Ah, Christmas knitting is about to get in the way. Au contraire, mon ami. These can be your Christmas knitting. And I've got prizes for those that actually finish or have achieved 90% upwards of being finished before the close date. I thought I could do something in 6 weeks, so you probably could do that. And the prize is going to be a handmade project bag by me and some handspun by me, wool to the two winners picked out of the Viking hat by one of the bairns, sort of say the 15th of November, because that'll give you 6 weeks. Now this is going to start on the 1st of October and run to the middle of November, so we've got 6 weeks to comfortably manage your item. If you're a quick knitter, you could even do a few, and you'll get more chance of getting that bag. Now, I'm going to do the mock cable hat and cowl set, as I've mentioned before, for Richard's Christmas. So, shush, dinna tell. And I know I said no Christmas knitting, but I'm fickle when it comes to knitting. You know it. I'd like to hear what pattern you're going to have. Natalie has got lots of shawls with a sort of Art Nouveau theme to them. Think Eiffel Tower, Manhattan Bridge. And she has them incorporated into her work by either lace or colour work. She has some cowls, hats, scarves and shawls. I put a thread in Ravelry for you to put your name to it. Obviously, if you're listening to this a while after the knit along has started or even finished, still go do and have a look at Natalie's designs. Plus, she will really help you if you get stuck. She's very friendly by email or Twitter. Obviously, in the small print that she's not going to promise to get back to you at that instant of your turning on the bat signal, as she does have a life, but she'll get back to you at her first opportunity. Small print over. I'm going to need to spin some fibre for my choice because it's in worsted and I don't have an awful lot of that. Plus, I promised Richard I'd make him something very soft for his cowl, and whilst I have some fibre that soft, I don't have any in yarn. And Mum did say, Louise, you don't need any more wool. That's still just as bad as last episode. That's Natalie Servant Knit Along. Choose any of her patterns, you sign up on the Ravelry board, finish by mid-November, starting on October the 1st, with a photo to prove it and a prize could be on its way to you.
The review section.
Right, review section. I was most fortunate and grateful, thank you, to the lovely, lovely Sherry, who sent me a copy of the unofficial Harry Potter Knits magazine by Interweave Press. I know lots of you have heard a review or mention of this if you listen to the same podcast that I do. Some of you might not have, so. This is a pattern magazine of 144 pages. It's a quite fat magazine, and it's a special issue to go in Interweave Press's series of special issues, such as the unofficial Downton Abbey Knits and Jane Austen Knits. And there's going to be a couple more in the pipeline. Now, there's a disclaimer on the front cover to say it is unofficial, even in the title. So there's the clue. It's not authorised, approved, or licensed, or endorsed by J.K. Rowling or publishers or Warner Brothers, so it's a fan magazine. And it doesn't mean that it has any of the knitwear from the actual film. The clue is in the name, Unofficial Harry Potter Knit. But I love Harry Potter, and knitwear plays a decent part in a book and film, so I was interested to see what the magazine contained. And so did Sandy, obviously, too. It's got 31 projects in it, and it's a price of $14.99. And I would say it was pretty good value for money. The projects include 10 sweaters or cardigans, 5 socks, 6 gloves, 2 hats, 2 scarves, one of them being the house scarf pattern. So it's got 4 variations in it with the 4 houses, 5 cloaks or shawls, and a headband. So think inspired by Harry Potter, as in they've taken things mentioned in the book. So remember Hagrid sitting knitting a great yellow jumper that looked like a tent. Well, there's a yellow jumper aimed at the larger body. Dumbledore has his warm socks he longs for in the Mirror of Erised, and they've made a smoking hat for him too, because they're nice that way. Fred and George are remembered with socks, and they've got red and green, and on the foot of one is green, and on the top is red, and vice versa for the other one, which is quite funny, it made me laugh. Ginny's cardigan is the pattern on the front cover, and it's quite striking. It's got a beautiful owl lace pattern worked centre to the back, and it's worked in one piece bottom up. Also, for most of these models, they have them looking-ish, Harry Potter-ish. So they've got a lovely girl who's got auburn gingery hair to model the Ginny outfits. They've got someone that looks quite like Professor Sprout to model the her inspired patterns hat and mitt section. Luna's got a tank top, which is a bit eclectic like she is. It's all cables and buttons. And they've even got a section for the baddies, where Severus pullover, a Lestrange cloak and Narcissa socks. So there's plenty to choose from for your favourite characters from the book. Plus, I think that they've got plenty of scope left for future editions, as there's no Minerva McGonagall, no ghosts, no Ron, directly inspired in this one. The whole magazine does have a bit of a gothic theme to it, and I suppose witches and wizards are a bit in the gothic category and they lived in fancy big places. I would say that there are at least 9 patterns that I would wear myself, 4 for Richard. But what I was disappointed in that there's none really for Sandy or Daisy. Granted, the books are about high school children, but I'd have quite liked it if they'd sized down for some of the patterns, so I feel that they've missed out with the age range. I've got 28 pages at the start of the magazine with interviews with the designers and the actual costume designer of some of the films. Janny T. Mime, which is quite interesting. And there's an interview with Tiny Owl Knits designer Stephanie Dawson. Now, it's really nice to read about, but I did wonder why they had it in, because she wasn't a designer in this magazine. She just loves Harry Potter. However, it was nice to read. And then there's an article about Harry Potter's Britain, which I feel kind of aimed at non-British market, because it should read Harry Potter's England. Not one mention of Scotland, and they did film quite a fair bit in Scotland. And these were my nitpicks about it. Well, just a few. I like at the back the pictorial diagram of the different yarns that they use for the patterns. Oh, you know that photo. The one where they have lots and lots of yarn laid out looking coloured and pretty and you want it all. There's a decent glossary and instruction section at the back too. And I like the magazine, and apparently it's having to get its second print as they've run out, which shows its popularity. Thank you very much to Sherry, who sent me a lovely letter along with the magazine, so I'll treasure both of them. Plus I got the same letter from America again. I love letters, listeners. Printed, handwritten, painted. I love letters. Oh, Laurie Star, I owe you a letter. So that is the Unofficial Harry Potter's Knits. If you need a pee, stop and go, because it's time for the Daisy Gaff. Section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while and been with me forever, listeners. I still do appreciate you tuning in and hope you are enjoying yourself. So a Sandy hello to new group members Daria's Mum, Serenity and QTWIQ. Random hellos are to the twin set Ellen and Jan, who made me laugh this morning when I was listening to their podcast, and yes, I did exactly think about that, but I was jumping up and down when you mentioned me afterwards. Go listen, you'll have to understand that one and the one before. And also to Crafty Nadine, Crafty Sharon, Crochetster, Crofter and Curly Red 52. I was in the C part of the list today. Can you tell?
Waltzy Crack section.
Waltzy Crack. The Great Scottish Tapestry is on exhibit. It is on show 3rd to the 22nd of September, as you know, in the Scottish Parliament in Edinburgh, and it's free to enter and it's open this Saturday. I am going this Saturday on the 21st of September, it's the last day. My textile artist group went down to the preview on the 2nd and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I've seen loads of their photos now and their opinions on ours and the whole thing on other panels. Apparently it's been very busy because Giftnet Girl's been as well and various other people that we know have been as well. So if you're in and around Edinburgh before this Saturday and love works of art, please do go along and then tell me what you think. Plus, you know the Stitcher of the Hill in the Caithness Schoolroom 1851 panel. But whatever you do, do not touch the panels, they won't like it. And as I said, I'm going to be there this Saturday, the 21st, in the morning, with the family. So if you're going along, please do come over and meet us and get a Sandy and Daisy giggle in real life. Now, moving on, the classes have been put up for the Glasgow School of Yarn, which is happening on the 18th and the 19th of October in Glasgow, up at Mary Hill. They've got Amy Singer, Liz Lovick, John of Easy Knits, and Deborah Robson is there to promote her book, The Field Guide to Fleece. I've told her I'm going to fangirl her. Stand in the background with my book. Oh. And I'm going to go with my mum and we are booked onto John of Easy Knit Socks Workshop on Saturday morning. They still have places on the workshop, so go on. Go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on. Or if not, we will be hanging around for a while after the class, hopefully get some soup for lunch and a little bit of a knit. And late afternoon, we'll be going down to the city centre for mum to get her Christmas shopping in. She takes the opportunity while she can. I've got the link up in the show notes for you to go and have a look at the Yarn Cakes School of Yarn. I'm really looking forward to catching up with Amanda of Owlprint Panda and also Whiteheart, who I met at the School of Yarn last year. Ella, have a wonderful holiday.
The swap section.
Swap. The coaster swap is well up and going. In fact, it's swapping just now. I have posted mine to the lovely Sabola, so I hope she loves getting this package in the post. Please post yours out by the 20th of September, which is tomorrow, including a coaster for your mug, swap made or bought, four items local to you, and a note or letter explaining it all. My coasters were crocheted with red and grey cotton and pattern taken from the Jan Eaton 200 Squares for Baby Blankets. I'll leave it to the next episode, but I have an idea for the next swap if you're interested. Please stay tuned.
The beaker section.
Me section. Because it's all about me. Get your own podcast. Right. What did I do this week? I am being sarcastic, by the way. My Cookie A Socktopus Totally Vanilla Socks have started again. Woohoo! I found my Britney sized two, well, it's American sized two, bamboo needles, and they are thin. And I reminded of bendy cocktail sticks. I keep looking for my foil hedgehog with my cheese squares and pickled onions to put them in. So far, I made my tension square and then followed Shakur's advice to deduct 20% for the superwash instead of 10%. And basically, she told me what she did and mine's worked out the same. So I cast on with less stitches and now 2 inches into it. I'm going to try and make one before the workshop next month and I'm quite enjoying it too. Maybe it's because I know what to do and when. I find that with second sleeves or gloves. I'm slow in the first one, but the second one goes much faster because I don't have to do the learning of the pattern. My problem with the second one is, oh yeah, I know the pattern. And then that's where the mistakes happen. Can you remember the Colonnade Art Yarn tank top that I said had started installed on and they would tell you when I did something interesting on it? Well, I realised I didn't have enough yarn. I think I told you that as well. After a bit of knitting on it the other day, I decided to take it out and I had a wee help from you on Facebook. I said, well, what will I do? And you said, well, do you love the pattern? And I went, no, I don't. So out it came. Another project I've taken out. I was starting to worry about me because this is like a recurring theme the past few months. But then, full stop, I found some purple handspun that I had made last year sometime. And it was about chunky weight, not that much of it. And I thought, I could get a beanie hat out of that. So I went onto Ravelry just to find out how many stitches to cast on roughly or so. Fell down the rabbit hole and I found the Lady Jodie hat by Madeline Casquillo, which is a free pattern on Ravelry. Basically, you do a ribbed long rectangle and you join it to make a deep headband. Then you pick the stitches up round the crown. And there's a wee dangly bit that goes round it to make it kind of look Art Nouveau, but I didn't do that because I ran out of the purple handspun for the top. And then I used some blue handspun, which wasn't very nice for knitting. It was very overspun. It was quite new handspun. I made wool. I was quite impressed. Oh, look, I've made wool. But to knit with it, oh, dear. However, my head is roasty toasty with it. It's perfect for this weather that we seem to be attracting. And I actually saw my first robin of the winter in the garden this morning. Tried to take a photo and I noticed. Must be camera shy today. So hopefully we'll get it out. Been harvesting the onions, the potatoes, and we've got tomatoes are needing picked now. The peas are needing picked. And just the last part of the garden. Yes, no more weeding. So, big tip for that I learned this year. Weed once a week. I then Dutch hoed every week throughout the summer, and what a difference it makes. It really does make such a difference. So little and often, yeah, your granny told you that one. This is why we listen to granny. My quote was rolling around on the floor if you're hearing funny noises. So I was just delighted with actually finishing a pattern, back to the script. Albeit the crown isn't my favourite part of the hat. You don't really see it that much, and it's a lovely warm snug hat. And I was really quite pleased with my handspun. And I have a feeling that I got that from Treen, so thank you again, Treen. Oh, I got a swap package from Treen that we'd set up between each other, and it was theme of the summer. And she sent me some beef jerky, which is lovely. Some coffee, which was really nice, it was very smooth. And some, she made it up, it's like a bath soak. And it's got lavender and stuff, and it's lovely. And there was some worsted yarn in it, and the bairns got a little present each, so it was a just fantastic letter box from America kind of day. So delighted with that. And much, and I, what did I send her? I sent her some sock wool, and it's from an Etsy shop who I know, the lady who runs it, and Rachel, who's absolutely lovely. She goes along to the spinning group, and it's called Coloured in Caithness. Rare breed wool, hand-dyed in the far north of Scotland. She loves wool, she loves British wool, especially from her rare breeds. I hand-dye rare breed yarn using colours that reflect the remote and beautiful landscape of Caithness. By purchasing yarn from my shop, you're supporting British yarn. And she lives... she's got down to John O'Groats, but she actually lives in Auchengill. You know, picking... you know what I'm like for picking, nitpicking things. So she's got loads of different yarns in there. I sent Treen some Caithness landscape ones, and it had the lichen in, the blue skies, the brown of the rock. And she's got Caithness lupin, North Sea, Winter Sea, heather, wild orchard, Shetland, silk, blue skies, raspberry sheep, handspun Gotland, Dunnet Forest, Ulster, so big skies. So it really is a lovely choice to go in there, and I'd recommend it. It came home, I had to open the package because she had it nicely wrapped. I thought, oh, I want to keep that. But I didn't need any more yarn. So I sent it over to America, and hopefully Treen will make some lovely socks out of it. But go and have a look at Coloured in Caithness on Etsy. And that's Rachel. You can tell her I sent you. Where were we? But I did make a project bag. I started it and I finished it. It's part of my swap package too, but I'm told Sabola not to listen until she gets it, so don't worry about spoilers. I had been given a length of tweed pattern heavy cotton or some kind of material, it's not wool, ages ago, and thought, that's really nice. It's a lovely drape, and I made a drawstring bag for her. I used part of an old skirt for the inside lining, which was a taupe colour, and it blended in lovely. And then the drawstring I got was the red cotton that I used for the coasters, tied it up, pleated it, tied it up, and used it for the bag. I was quite chuffed with myself in the end, so I hope she enjoys that. And I went along to textile artists, and they said about the tapestry that our stitching was up to par, said it was overwhelming, the whole project, but amazing, emotional, inspiring, and they were very proud to be a part of it. So I shall let you know how I feel after Saturday. And textile artists is going to continue to have Caith Ness as our project theme until December. So I've been carrying on with my embroidery of the Caith Ness skyline. I've stitched the hills now, mostly in a fly stitch, using greys and greens. And then Richard suggested putting a bit of purple on for the heather. I was looking at my Margaret Rowan stitching guide for ideas and stitches for the foreground part. And I really enjoyed doing it. Bit slow, but of a wet and windy afternoon, very enjoyable. And I've been carrying on doing my cross stitch every now and again as well.
The Caith Ness
section. Caith Ness segment. I have a drive about Caith Ness recording for you now. I came home from Wick via Leith the other day. I thought, Caith Ness looks resplendent in the harvest sunshine. So here you go. For you pundits of Google Earth, please look up the B876 from Wick to Castletown. Go inland about 2 miles. Find Rees, and that's where I start. Well, this is me coming out of the village of Rees, and I have been on this road before, but normally I would turn right at the John O'Groats sign, but this time I'm passing a little housey called Bonnie Gates, and I'm just about to hit the 60 sign and take the road from Wick through to Castletown. Of course, I can't remember what the road number is for you all to Google Earth me, but when I come across a sign, I'll tell you. I'm doing this purely off the cuff, so bear with me. It's no use, you'll not hear it. We're just passing a little old schoolhouse, and fans of the Scottish tapestry panel will know fine well what the gable end of the house looks like. It's an old stone building, dark grey stone, and it's now lived in by people, because they sold off a lot of the houses. The old schoolhouses that they're now lived in. So we're coming up out of the air on my left. Well, it's a very, very flat undulating skyline I've got here. I can see about 10 miles in either direction. To the north of me, I can see Keith, and to the south and west, I can see in the middle distance there's arable fields and there's a wee loch in, and in the distance, I can see the wind turbines at the Casamare to the south of the county. And we're just passing a war memorial for the fallen from 1914 and the 1939 wars, and it's very well kept. And on the right we're going to come up to the road that goes off to Wester, and this is the Kilmister area, and in one of these fields, where are they? They're hiding. Oh, there they are. Right, everybody. Bah! On the right of me now, just as I come up to a double corner, there's some little sheepies, and they're textile sheepies. And I remember back ages ago thinking, what kind of sheep are they? And they look like goats, but I believe that they're textile sheepies. They very much look like goats, but I believe that they are sheep. On the right of me, there are some quite modern bungalows, houses, and to the left of me, there is moorland, and I'm talking rushes, bulrushes, swampy sort of area, bogland, lots of heather, and we'll come to a dogleg in the road here, and you have to slow down to 45 at the very least, and there's coming to a street here, which you can normally overtake, but I'm just going to sit and talk to you just now. But that dogleg, if you're ever on that road, make sure you slow down, because there's been a few bad accidents there. So this part of the road is, on both sides, is moorland and bog. On the left hand side they had a little, well, in fact this area here it's got gorse and bulrushes, grasses. But my bog caught in. Think of a stick with a piece of white candy floss on the end of it, and that is what the entire, well, I'm talking 5 square miles easy, pine trees plantation in the background. So we've done another corner, and the road is slightly picking up, and there's my cousin Alfie's house, and there is a sign for the road to Gersa. And there's farmlands here, an old farm, and some new houses on the left of me. Some
more coups. I believe that they're limousine coups. And Caithness is at the harvesting just now. So throughout the county, there are various... Oh, we're just passing the gallery of contemporary art, the Kirk Gallery. And they sell lots of different beautiful artwork in there. It used to be a village hall, I think. And I'm just passing the High Point trigonometry point stone for this is the High Point. So you do get a very wide open view and Wild Goose Cottage. So, as I said about the Caithness is in the process of harvesting its crops just now, mostly the hay, and I don't know an awful lot about the ins and outs of it, but the farmers have all been extremely busy the past fortnight because it's been drying off, cutting, baling. Some of them they've wrapped for silage and some of them they've just left for whatever it is they do with it. Now, I've been enjoying listening to Black Elk Crafts tell us more and the exact background about the farming. So if you're actually quite interested in that, she's really good at doing that. Sheila lives on a farm and her husband has the farming business. They have the farm, they work the farm, they are the farm. So if you want to know the ins and outs of the farm, she's your kid. So now we're passing the crossroad for going to Wotton and Coy Bray, and this is the B876, which you've seen a sign, and it goes from Castletown to Wick. And there are some rowan trees. I just said the word tree. I know. This was a garden. As you know, we don't have a great deal of trees, but the rowan berries are very red just now. They're almost on the wane. And I know it's that time of year because it was my friend Carla's birthday yesterday. And when she was 21, I've got very, very vivid memories of coming north and the rowan berries being full pelt, full bloom on the trees. Now we're coming up to a place called Subsea 7. Great big long big sheds, and this area here used to have lots and lots of pine trees, but they felled it recently and it's quite open, and because they use great big white lights on the subsea, it's a fabrication facility and it's where they do subsea pipes, and they have a train track and it goes from here, which I think we're about 3 or 4 miles inland, and it goes to Rees Beach, and then they take them off to wherever the oil rigs are. Now, if you've got good ears, you'd have heard me indicate there to turn up onto a single track road, and we're going to go via Lyth, L-Y-T-H. So we've turned a corner, and this area to my right was recently felled, and it has that kind of scraggy looking kind of, we had trees here once and of course they've come in and harvested them, and we now look like we've had trees here once. It was quite sad, but it's the farmland, so that's what happens. You just kind of got to get over yourself. And this area here is quite, and it had a little sort of pond, and there was always house martins there, and I believe there's bats. And this is where the hen harriers live, because I'm just passing the turnoff for Burns of, is it Bramster? And this is where Joan from my textile artist live, and there'll be hen harriers here. So I do occasionally come up this road just to see if I can see one. I can see a crow. However, one hen harrier a year is more than enough for Louise. And we come up the hill, and we've got hedges on both sides now, so it's a bit more enclosed, and we go past a BT exchange. I believe that they have reasonable broadband, Joan said. Better than ours. Not better than Twisted or anything. And Joan's farm, she has Clydesdale horses on hers, and I think she's still got some sheep. She used to have rare breed sheets, but they're getting on an age now, so they don't have as many. We're passing the farm for Barrack Mains, which is quite a big farm, and it's to my left, there's a field of hay that's not been cut yet. And we're just coming to the brow of this hill. There's some house martins still here. So it'll be long before they flee off back south. Because on our house, two ends of the gables, they have abandoned their nest, but one side they haven't. Now I'm coming to a crossroads called at Lyth, and we've got Gill 6 miles back, Hastigrow 2 where we turned off, Wick 11 miles, Castletown 8 miles, and Lyth Art Centre half a mile. And I'm just looking at the war memorial, and it says the 1914 to 1919. Which confused me, and I went back and looked at what it meant, and it was because the Treaty of Versailles was not signed until 1919, or something happened that the war didn't officially end until 1919.
I have photos on Flickr for this section, and from the next episode I'll pick up from where I left off to where I finished, which makes sense when you hear. It was a lovely sort of drive, and I did the speaking, and then Richard and I went back down to Wick the day after, so that's when I took the photos, because he's in one of them. So you can tell I wasn't driving and taking photos at the same time, because I am a health and safety type of person. Drams. On to the drams this episode. And after this, there is only blah 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 stuff, so if you're not into the drinking, then thank you for listening. I'll catch up with you next episode, because there are the one or two of you that don't really do the drams. That's fair enough. I don't mind. Although you might want to listen to the start of this one, because it's funny. But if you are into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink an Ochentoshan Classic Year single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I wanna drum it with you. We're drumming. And I hope you like drumming too. Pause.
I'm so embarrassed. You sounded like you were in karaoke.
Echo fecking.
Beg your pardon.
Fuck a verse.
What?
Ochentoshan.
Sorry, listeners, we're not falling out. They're actual names in Scotland, but I do apologise for Richard's karaoke efforts. I tell you, he couldn't sing.
I can't. Hello. It was worth a try.
Oh, well.
It was an epic fail.
It was funny, and I hope you laughed.
But I enjoyed
well.
It. I was doing a wee dance.
He was wiggling his bum. Right, getting back to this episode, listeners. This episode, we are doing an...
Ochentoshan.
An Ochentoshan. Toshin.
Well, Ochentoshan. And it's the classic.
It's a single malt whiskey. Pass me the tub. The cardboard box that comes with it is a rectangular box. Very grey, but not dull. It's got silver embossed and dark grey and white and black writing. A little bit too piggy for my bad eyes, but... information on it. On the back, it's got 700 millilitres, 40% alcohol per volume, and it's a product of Scotland. And it says, yeah, I like this bit. People here say Ochentoshan, but what's little pronunciation between friends? No other Scottish distillery insists on triple distilling every single drop. This gives our lowland single malt whisky a complex, gentle flavour. We've crafted Ochentoshan on the banks of the River Clyde since 1823 in the shadow of Old Kilpatrick Hills between Glasgow and Loch Lomond. So we'll talk about the actual taste of it later. So that's the box. It's cardboard. It's kind of shiny.
Unfortunately,
it's understated.
It's near Old Kilpatrick, which is just down from Bowling. Now, knowing that it's brewed or distilled on the Clyde where it is, unfortunately, there's... not many things that kind of can sell the things that get washed up in the shoreline there.
Maybe they take it from a spring coming down from the hills.
I'd hope so, because it's right beside the Erskine Bridge.
Mm.
Mm. The things that get washed up there, not nice.
Yeah, let's move on a little bit.
Yes. Bottle. Well, being the professional that I am, I had a wee warm-up last night. But
describe the bottle, Richard.
The bottle is of a kind of traditional medicinal type of bottle. The kind of thing you'd see in a Western when they slid it up the bar.
Oh, yeah. Actually, when I was in the vets getting Cotroy's booster the other day, they had a whole pile of little tiny bottles of old-fashioned bottles of medicine, the way they used to dispense them in the back in the old days, which was quite smart.
Looking at the way that's been
embossed on the glass.
Embossed on the glass, it's really quite cool. You've got three stills in Auchentoshan Distillery.
That's on the front of it. And it's got a sort of grey and silver and white.
It's very like the box. Yeah,
label. Which, I'd say that was quite a classic-y thing. And in the back it says drink responsibly.
Yes, drinkaware.co.uk.
Uh-huh. And it's got a funky little, what's that, hieroglyphic type of thing. And it's got...
I think that I'm going to have to look that up because it looks kind of like Japanese writing.
I don't think it is. I think it's... What's it called? It's got a wee hill looking. And then it's got a K underneath and it says LBD.
Kirkpatrick Hills.
That's the one I was looking for. And it tells you a little tasty note. Product of Scotland, triple distilled, matured solely in American bourbon casks. The result, a lowland single malt whisky with the sweet aroma of vanilla, coconut and the signature smooth, delicate Auchentoshan taste.
Well done.
I quite like saying Auchentoshan.
Language. Wash your mouth out with soap and water.
Well, I will if you give us some whisky. Right, so...
There's your glass.
There's yours.
Thank you. Now... Last night, when I went through a little preview, doing my homework, I noticed that the cork did have a fine squeak.
Did you?
First corkage.
I like that. What colour is it in the bottle?
In the bottle, definitely going for Winnie the Pooh.
Definitely Winnie the Pooh. Slightly dirty Winnie the Pooh.
Very orange.
My Winnie the Pooh's been out in the garden again. That's a fine cork.
I noticed that last night.
Excellent corkage squeak.
Lovely cork.
For only being opened the once.
Once. Two tiny little drams last night.
Oh, even squeak going nice going back out. Not much of a glug going out though.
I can live with that.
Well, so can I. Right, done the colour. Colour in the glass, the same. Winnie the Pooh, been quite dirty outside.
He's been playing outside all day.
He's been tatty hooking.
Tatty hooking?
It's Tatty Hogan Fortnite soon, where they pick all the tatties in Scotland, and it's
we've already done all but one row.
Harvesting your potatoes.
Oh, I smell that.
I like to think of Joe and Shiny Bees when I think of potatoes now, because that's what she's surrounded by in Lincolnshire. And there's a couple of listeners. Somebody said that she'd been to Lincolnshire, and she put up the pictures of the cathedral. I am so sorry, I've forgotten your name. And there was a programme on the past three nights on BBC Two, and it had your friend Philippa Forrester.
Oh, she's a very good presenter.
He likes her. And the first night they had tatties in Lincoln. Second night they had wheat and barley. There was one up in Scotland and one down, didn't say where, south. He was a cool dude, and they had this excellent combine harvester, which I was fascinated by the fact it was all computerised. And then the third night, they had berries. And the guy who had the cherry orchard was called Andy Hunt. No relation.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, a very interesting programme. So
I'm lost in smells here. Because it does say in the thing about apple peelings and stuff. And I actually can smell apple peelings.
Well, I'll have to have a wee sniff. Talk amongst yourselves, listeners. No, I can smell whiskey.
Well... You can't do you for trade descriptions acting, can they?
Oh, can I have some water in that, please?
Oh, certainly, yes.
Thanking you. Now we add the whisker.
Add the whisker, because we haven't shaved.
Yeah, we haven't got any cats. Cat's whisker.
Oh, right.
We add the whiskey to let the alcohol...
We add the water. It's the second outtake, is it?
Oh, no. We add the water to the whiskey to let the alcohol zzz off, because I can't think of the right word, and it
dissipate.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
And it lets the flavours out more. But do what you want with it, Whiskeyers.
Oh, such a sweet smell. It's lovely.
How you drink a whiskey is up to you. It is very personal. Slangeva.
Slangeva. That to me is very sweet. It's lovely.
It's sweet. I'm getting coconut. Mm. I am getting coconut.
I'm getting everything it says it is.
But I'm not finding it smooth. I feel like I want more water in it. Like.
Have some more water.
Yeah, I think I will. I just find it a bit rough.
Yeah.
Mm. Sometimes if you add a bit more water to whiskey, we have found it isn't quite as rough. Because remember we did that with the old Pulteney thing that was called Gordon and McPhail?
That once drove past the old Pulteney distillery.
How old is this? Does it tell you?
It doesn't say. I'd put it at probably about 10 years, maybe.
Mm.
It doesn't say. It calls it the classic. It's the paupers dram.
Paupers? People that don't have much money?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because it's not going for the... Well, looking on the website, it had drams from about every year going back to about the early 19th century.
Oh, so the classic is the indiscriminate one?
Yes, exactly. Aye.
What was the website like?
It had all the different bottles you can buy, but it didn't really give much detail about the history or the origin of the distillery, which I'm guessing it's distilled elsewhere and then brought to Auchentoshan to be matured. Right. But I don't know. It didn't really say very much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very nice. I find it quite palatable, actually.
Would you buy it again?
Yes, but there's certainly many more than I'd have before it.
Have we actually said where Auchentoshan is?
Near Bowling, but you cut me off.
I beg your pardon. Right,
no, we're talking about Bowling and the Erskine Bridge and Holkirk Patrick.
That's down near Glasgow for use listeners that aren't sure.
Aye, aye.
It's a very pretty part of the world, actually. In the Kelvin Grove Museum, there was a painting by quite a famous artist, and he'd taken it from looking onto Bowling up the Clyde Valley, and he had it when they had the old sailing boats.
That's where the canal was, and the canal's beautiful. Up there. Aye.
And the rock of Dumbarton Rock, which used to be a fantastic climbing spot.
It used to be a volcano.
Now a volcanic plug like Edinburgh Castle so sits on. Right, so describe your flavours that you're getting off your drink.
Yeah, I'm getting everything. It says coconut and I'm getting that.
I got coconut, which I'm sweet. Quite
and
surprised at.
And the taste, I was getting apple peelings as well. Mm. And the smell.
I don't like the smell of apple peelings. It smells kind of like off.
No.
Is it off apple peelings or...
No, fresh.
Fresh apple peelings, yeah. All right. Mm. No, I don't think I'm getting that. Added a little bit of water, it's not quite as sharp.
I quite like it sharp.
I don't like a sharp. But listeners, you know how I say this every week? Guess what it tastes like? God, guess. Whiskey! Yeah, you're right.
So, tell me, who are you having round for a dram tonight to share your Auchentoshan with?
Wait, I thought because Winnie the Pooh is, it's Winnie the Pooh colour, we could have Winnie the Pooh sitting there. And I'd quite like to have Tigger, Piglet, Rabbit, I can't remember the other ones, but no, we're not having Christopher Robin because you don't like them. And also I was going to have Paddington because apparently they're making a film of Paddington.
Cool. Who's playing Paddington?
Colin Firth.
Who's
he's playing in... It didn't say he was playing Paddington, but he was going to play a part in it. Probably cool. Mr. Brown.
Ah, I see.
That'd be pretty cool. I'm sorry, am I boring you?
Yes.
There was a yawn in the last episode of the drams.
Was there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
But also...
And the burp?
Touché. Also, I'm going to have my swap partner for the coaster because Mr. Cibola, Sarah's husband, likes a dram.
Very good.
So
I'll be happy to have a dram.
Hi. And I'm going to have Min Picks because thank you for the lovely package you sent to Burns of stationery. They're just going mental for it. And this is like a thank you to everybody who sent me anything. Thank you to Natalie, who didn't mean to, but she did. And also thank you to Gold Threads for the lovely card that she sent me. And to Thistle Ridge Farm, who sent us a letter. That's the one I read out the other day.
That's a great letter.
And she said she wasn't doing it for the publicity, not to mention on the podcast, but we had to say thank you to her, because it made us smile and we sang Letter to America quite a lot, didn't we?
Yes.
And also to the lovely Trine and her husband because she sent me her swap package for summer and we got some lovely stuff. And what was in it?
beef jerky.
It's just pointed at it, like you can see that.
I love it. It's great. Yeah. I tried making my own, but it was just didn't compare.
Any of you listeners and still in subliminal message mode, please send Richard some beef jerky. End of message. And you're back in the room. So who are you going to invite for in for your draw?
Well, a little bit antagonistic and controversial, but I'm going to have Cameron McNeish round.
Who is Cameron McNeish?
He's quite a famous climber, mountaineer, author. He's written quite a few books. Made a lot of money encouraging people to go in the hills, but then discourages the fact that people go in the hills and leave paths and make cairns at the top. He was on telly kicking over cairns because he hated cairns. So me and young Sandy...
What is a cairn?
Well, a cairn's a pile of stones that is basically a mark on the side of a hill somewhere, generally at the top and maybe at sort of critical points in your route to it. So like a dog leg, when you're kind of going up and walking on the ridge, you find a cairn, you know roughly where you are. Anyway, he doesn't like cairns. He's got a thing about cairns. Well, I took young Sandy up the highest hill in Caithness today, a wee hill called Morven. It's not big. It's 706 metres.
Now, listeners of the podcast who are more than three episodes old should know about the hill Morven because who stitched it for the Great Scottish Tapestry?
Oh, you did.
Me!
Yes.
We're going there next week.
Well, me and Sandy went up the hill today.
I know.
We cycled in and we did about, I think it was 18 kilometres in total.
Wow.
We cycled in. Some of it. We walked in some of it and then climbed. It was a steep ascent. It was very steep, actually, over rocks and stuff. We got to the top and I said to Sandy, find a stone and stick it in a cairn. Why do we do that? He said that. I said, well, for two reasons. One, because it's always tradition. When my dad took me up hills, we always found a stone and stuck it in a cairn. And it's always been that way every time I've gone up a hill. And I've climbed quite a few hills in my time. And secondly, because it upset Cameron McNeish, because he doesn't like cairns. And I had to explain to him why he doesn't like cairns, because he kicks him over and he says it's unnatural. He's entitled to his viewpoint. But what I question is, a man who's made his career and his money writing books, encouraging people to go on hills, who then declares he doesn't like people going on hills. It sounds to me a little bit hypocritical. So, basically, I'd have him round, and I'd have Sandy with me, and I'd like to tell him that me and Sandy put stones in our cairn, and what's he going to do about it? And if he came with a reasonable kind of retort and come back, I'd offer him a dram. And if he starts spouting off about what he did in the telly programme,
I'd say Eeyore on him.
Yes. And Winnie the Pooh to lick all the honey off him. That Tigger had thrown off him.
Tigger.
Anyway, it's slightly controversial antagonistic, but beyond that...
Cool. Who would you invite for a drum?
I don't know.
If you've only got one, that's fine, because I've got billions of them. I'm having all them lovely people that sent me things or gifted me things and are so kind. And Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Piglet, Eeyore.
I'd have Treen for some more beef jerky.
Are you getting this subliminal message, for listeners?
I mean, that's just for, I love it. And what I do is I treat myself to one little piece every day.
Yes, I know.
One little bit.
You're not adding today.
I have.
Oh.
One little bit when I came in.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Sandy. Sandy went up his first hill today. It's not the biggest hill in the world, but it's a long, long walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Long. We cycled in to... There's an old Croft Shield in there, and we hid the bikes in it, and then we walked up, and he did fine. His first hill, did fine. So next time, I'm taking him up Ben Hope, which is the most northerly Munro, which is a hill over 3,000 feet, which is not, again, that big, in contrast to the hills they have in Europe and in America.
It's a lot when you're seven.
But it's a lot when you're seven.
When we came round the corner at Keith's, when I was taking him down to Wick tonight, Sandy goes, look, there's Morven. And Daisy went, which one is it? And I says, the biggest one in the distance. And she went to Sandy, wow, you went a long way. That's high. She was really impressed, her big brother. Oh, and what did he get last night?
Oh, Sandy, last night, got his red belt at his martial art of Kuxo 1. He did very well because I was there when he got graded and last week. And he did exceptionally well.
Very proud, Mum and Dad.
Very proud of him.
Back to the Auchentoshan. Would you have us again?
Yes.
Anything more to say on the subject?
It's quite a nice wee drum. I'm quite looking forward to chipping away at it over the next few weeks.
Hmm.
Till we find something else to replace
it. Oh, I know what we were going. I was going to say about when we were in Mackay's, the grocers in Thurso, when we were looking at the drams, and we were looking for a McClelland from Isla, because somebody, one of you lovely listeners, no, I can't remember who you are, but I know you sent me a lovely message and said, we've got this, could you get this, and we could do a dramalo. Well, we tried to find it and we couldn't get it.
You can only get it online.
Yeah, so we'll have to send you out to work a bit more, I think, before we can afford that. Anybody going to work? Give Richard work, because he's here too much. I'm not getting enough craft done.
I've got plenty to do.
And
I've got part of a bottle of Auchentoshan to drink as well.
We were in Mackay's and we were looking at all the different drams, and one of them was a funky little bottle of grouse, and it was called a naked grouse, and it was quite a funky bottle with embossed grouse at the bottom. And I looked down and I said, oh, that looks great. I've not had that. And the guy that owns Mackay's said that normally it has lots of different things. One of them is Highland Park. Now, you know that. But the rumour is that went around last week, or a few weeks ago, that they put in a very expensive Highland Park into the naked grouse. So therefore everybody's been buying it up, because it tastes better.
And the price has gone up accordingly.
I'd have.
What I meant to say as well today was we seen buzzards, possibly eagles.
Ooh!
We seen lots of pheasants at the bottom, grouse, well, ptarmigan, ravens, and Sandy's walking up the hill in front of me. He says, Dad, look up there, there's a big rabbit. And it was a mountain hare.
A mountain hare?
Aye. And it was the biggest hare I've ever seen.
Wow.
It was huge.
That's cool.
It was huge. It was like the hare, the bunny rabbit of Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko. Goodness, oh no.
It was huge.
Oh, that's cool. I'm pleased he saw that.
Aye, he says, is it rare? And I went, yeah, it's rare enough, aye. It is. Rare enough.
You don't get a lot of hares in
it. And it was sitting proud on a rock. Cool. And it kind of looked round at us, just like a Donnie Darko rabbit.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was, it's very good, and he kept on talking about the hair.
Of course,
the hair.
By the time you get your camera out,
no, well,
rock.
It was in my backpack anyway.
No hair. Well, that's pretty cool. I'm glad you had a good day.
I had a fantastic day.
Excellent. Right, and on that note, we shall see.
Slanjava.
Slanjava.
Oikiva.
Oikiva. I'm sorry for his singing. He sounds like a karaoke, but he was so having much fun, I thought it was funny. And we have an outtake at the end. I don't normally have outtakes, as it gets cut and put in the bin. This time we kept it. It's recycled. He liked this dram more than me, and whilst the taste was nice, I found it quite rough. And do you know, in the morning I was quite narky after it. I sometimes feel that's why I don't drink tequila, because it affects my mood. So this is where your drink responsibly part comes in. So I don't think I'm really going to drink any more of it, which he was quite delighted about. You know, oh, all that rest of that Auchentoshan for him. So, that was an Auchentoshan.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah section. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The photos are down the right-hand side there. The music again was from Thurso Pipe Band, because I thought it was quite nice. Thank you for listening. Keep on crafting.
We're jamming. No, we're not jamming, we're jamming. Right, you're...